All right, thank you for being here today. I've got a lump in my throat, so we'll see if this goes according to plan. But I've been talking to too many people, I guess. I'm going to talk today about leaf area index and how to measure that under any sky condition. Like Angela said, I'm from Licor Biosciences. We make a variety of biotechnology and environmental products. You might be familiar with our photosynthesis systems, our PAR sensors, our leaf area meters. Today I'm going to talk about leaf area index analyzers. Just as an overview, leaf area index is a one-sided leaf surface area per ground area. So it's a unitless ratio. But essentially it's meter squared per meter squared, and it's known in the scientific literature as many different things, although I think in the last decade or two the community has solidified on LAI as the name for this variable. And leaf area is a huge part of what we measure. It's an indicator of plant biomass, photosynthetic capacity, and transpiration, the water vapor given off by plants. And therefore, it's important for plant studies, whether you're looking at individual plants or entire ecosystems. And this plays into a wide variety of studies simply because leaves drive ecosystems, essentially. As far as measuring leaf area index, there are several different methods. Some of the direct measurements include destructive sampling, removing every single leaf at the end of a season, and measuring the area, like you see here with this Licor area meter. Obvious issues with that would be you only get to do it once. And then there's other methods such as leaf traps, which have many pitfalls, pun intended. But there are several other indirect methods as well. One of the most popular is hemispherical photography, so taking a fisheye lens, putting that on a camera, and taking a photo of the canopy using software to count the pixels. There's also radiation transmittance, measuring light transmitted through the canopy. Another area is measuring reflectance from satellites or possibly even drones. And the method that I'm going to talk about today is gap fraction distribution. That's the method that our particular instrument uses. And it goes something like this. So we measure the irradiance above and below the canopy at various view angles. And I'll get to that on the next slide. So what we're measuring there are gaps between the foliage. We do that for a variety of angles. This particular instrument measures five different zenith angles. And essentially what we're doing is inverting gap fraction. So gap fraction involves a model. If you have this certain type of canopy with this leaf structure, light is going to move through it in this particular way. We're inverting that, so we're saying if light is moving through the canopy in this particular way, what is its leaf arrangement? What is the structure of the canopy? And that brings me to our particular instrument, the LAI 2200C Plant Canopy Analyzer. This measures light readings above and below the canopy with a sensor head that I happen to have right here. The lens portion is up here, and it has an adjustable head for measurements above and then below the canopy. Gap fraction is calculated from the transmitted radiation, and then the newest development with the 2200C is an integrated GPS unit, which allows for the light scattering correction, which I'll talk about. So how it works is radiation from five different view rings is recorded. These rings are centered on 7, 23, 38, 53, and 68 degrees. We have several optical filters, so we're looking specifically at light wavelengths between, I believe, 370 and 490 nanometers, and that is mainly to get a very clear indication of what is a leaf and what isn't. We're avoiding the green. And then data can be stored on the sensor head itself or transmitted to a console, which has viewing capabilities as well and calculates leaf area index automatically. The measurement goes something like this. You record one above canopy reading and typically several, probably around four or five, below canopy readings, simply because not all canopies are homogeneous. Few are. Then gap fraction is calculated and LAI is computed using the model. For measurements in soybeans, it's fairly simple. You hold the sensor above the canopy and then below the canopy. For forests and other applications where you have very large, very tall plants, typically you would use two sensors and have one automatically logging outside the forest in a gap in the canopy, and then take the other sensor head and make your manual below canopy readings in the forest. Sensors can log disconnected from the console, and there's several different options. I'll just go over this briefly. There are different techniques used for different canopy types. So if you're looking at small plots, typically you'd want to select a view cap that only looks at the canopy of interest and not anything else. These view caps are about this big, and they go onto the sensor head, onto the lens, and specifically block out a certain area from view. So it's only looking at the canopy of interest. For homogeneous row crops, you can get away with a very large view angle. For heterogeneous row crops, you typically want to have a more narrow field of view so that you're looking specifically at the row and not anything else. And you can even measure isolated plants or hedges using this method. Now, one of the new developments in the past 2 years has been the development of a light scattering correction. The gap fraction method traditionally assumed that leaves absorb 100% of incoming light, which is absolutely not true. As you can see, leaves transmit and reflect light as well. Now, as I said, we are looking at a very specific wavelength range, but even that is not enough to account for all of the light transmitted through the leaves and reflected off different parts of the canopy. And that can be problematic because you're measuring more light than ideally you would if the leaves were perfectly opaque. And that means more light is coming in, you're overestimating gap fraction and therefore underestimating leaf area index. That error could be up to 26% in certain cases. So for that reason, traditionally this method was used in diffuse light conditions. So on uniform overcast days, which are very hard to come by, or dawn or dusk, which nobody wants to do. But now with a new light scattering correction, we can make measurements on a clear day. Actually, clear days are best for this correction. Latitude, longitude, and universal coordinated time from the GPS unit are all used to calculate the position of the sun and the position relative to the sensor. You would go out into the field and make measurements as you typically would, but before you do that, you would log a sequence of 4A readings with and without the diffuser cap, and I'll get to that in a second. And that would be an indication of how much sunlight is direct, how much is diffuse. And then based on that, the software would automatically calculate the light scattering correction and apply it to your data. So to go into that a little bit more in depth, you would log a sequence of 4A readings. The software recognizes that sequence of four and uses that as the driving force for the light scattering correction. Then you would just go about your day, logging your above and below canopy readings as you typically would. Transfer the data to the computer and open it in our software, which is available for free. The light scattering correction is the only correction that we can't apply on the console itself. It has to be done on the computer, but that seems to be okay. And then applying this correction to the rest of the data. So a 4A sequence would look something like this. You would place a diffuser cap on top of the lens, similar to the view caps, but made of a more acrylic material. You would make a measurement first on the top left with the diffuser cap in the sun. Second, on the top right, you would measure with it shaded. Typically, you could just shade it with your body, and that would get you an idea of how much diffuse light is coming through. Third, on the bottom left, you would remove all the caps and still make a measurement with it shaded. And then the fourth reading would be your typical above canopy reading. So you'd use the view cap that you want to use for your measurements. And then the actual correction, the way the software processes this information is something like this. So it first computes LAI according to the model. And then it predicts the error based on a number of factors, the leaf area index, the data from the GPS unit, and also that 4A sequence to tell you how much direct and diffuse light is coming through. You'd subtract that error from the gap fractions, and then compute new LAI based on this adjusted gap fraction, and the cycle can continue for there's a software setting for that. Typically, it's five iterations, that's a very simplified overview of the actual mathematics. We don't even want to get into that. It's described in a paper by Kobayashi, I think Ag and Forest Meteorology, 2013. I've got the reference at the end, and that's really the driving force for this light scattering correction. It was developed by the scientific community, and then we implemented it into our instrumentation. So as a summary, light scattering can cause underestimation of leaf area index, and it's been known that this can happen for quite some time. So typically the best way to measure it would be to get up very early or wait for some theoretical uniform overcast day. But if we know the sun angle and the light intensity, the effects of this light scattering can be minimized, and we'll get a better idea of leaf area index. This particular instrument uses GPS coordinates to identify the sun angle, and then that 4A sequence will get you ideas of direct and diffuse sunlight, and then the file viewer automatically calculates the correction and applies it to your data. So leaf area index, as we saw, is a key variable. Many people are measuring it because it relates to a lot of studies about how canopies work and photosynthetic rates, transpiration rates. There are several methods available, each one with advantages and disadvantages. This particular instrument provides fully corrected leaf area index values with a quick measurement, even in a variety of canopy types and light conditions. Like I said, there's the reference. If you'd like to read more about the math and get into that, I confess I can't even quite understand absolutely everything about it, but it is available. So with that, I'll take any questions.
I have a quick one.
Sure.
So it calculates the sun angle, but that's going to change the amount of brightness that you have. So do you have to recalibrate it with the diffuser about every hour?
Yeah, typically for it depends on how clear your sky conditions are. But yeah, you'd want to redo that 4A sequence occasionally throughout the day as the sun angle changes. It's not going to make a huge difference whether you do it at 10 or 10:30. But you would want to measure that throughout the day to get a more consistent correction for each section of your data. And there even is a sky conditions test. Essentially, you would log various data points throughout the day, and the file viewer does a calculation to tell how variable your sky conditions actually were, so based on the A readings. So, any other questions?
Eric, what did people do before 2013? They couldn't just wait for cloudy days.
Right.
They must have kind of done some kind of correction, because your
yes.
previous tax error could be up to 26%.
Exactly. And unfortunately, a lot of people simply ignored this. It was one of the key assumptions that was made.
You told them to ignore it, and they did.
We didn't tell them to ignore it, but yeah, people do what they want to do. So
they've collected possibly
iffy data. Yeah. Only people who have really looked at the math, I think, were concerned about this type of issue, but it was affecting. It could possibly be affecting everything. And so, our recommendation had been to measure in diffuse light conditions, but ultimately, people are going to measure whenever they want. So, do you have time for more questions?
Is Melinda in the room?
Oh,
okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Sorry.